are you putting your eyeballs on this weekend? 651-641-1071. What are you going to binge? This is the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 1071, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Traynor.
Hi.
What are you going to binge this weekend? 651-641-1071. What are you going to binge this weekend, Bradley?
Oh, for real? I'm going to finish The Crown. I'm going to finish The Queen's Gambit. I'm watching The Great British Bake Off. That's not really a binge, but that comes out every Friday. Yeah.
It sounds like you have a very nice weekend planned. I mean, here's the deal. We're not doing much these days. So, you know, we're back in binge town. We did this kind of back in March when we were on official lockdown. We were trying to figure out what to binge, and now we're here again. And the good news is those streaming channels are deep. There's a lot
that you can cover. So, I still haven't even gotten to my Star Trek Discovery new season yet.
So much to do. 651-641-1071. What are you going to stare at with your eyeballs this weekend? Holly is answering the phones, so I'm not going to ask
gonna
her
be
to put
binging?
Somebody on the phone. This is not a joke, and I just want to say that before I say what I'm about to say. When we were watching The Queen's Gambit the other day, which we finished last week, my husband said to me, everybody says The Crown is good. And I said, I would be into that. And so I think we may pick up The Crown this weekend.
Yeah, good. No, it's worth it.
I have watched the entire first season, but I'm fine with watching it all over again. It is so good. And so I joke and say that I'm going to catch up on it someday, but I actually think we're going to start making inroads, but we're also still dabbling in some episodes of Unsolved Mysteries. So, because they did that second dump.
I did watch the second season, and while it's good, I do have one critical flaw with that show.
Yeah, what is it? They don't solve the mystery. I know.
Because
I know.
You watch it and the whole time you're like, oh God, I'm never going to know.
Well, okay. Or there was the one that we watched two nights ago was the story of it's a terrible story of a young girl who was murdered. And as that story begins, I think the unsolved mystery is going to be who murdered her. But that's not the unsolved mystery.
Yeah.
There's another unsolved mystery.
Yeah.
And the whole time I was trying to figure out, like, what's the mystery that has not been solved here?
And I will say there are a couple, this drop, because I think it's, you know, it's a different season, but it's like, it's still the same year, right? Didn't we just get them in the spring?
I don't even think they're calling it a second season. I think.
Yeah, I don't either.
They're calling it like the last half of the first season or something.
But there are a couple where I'm like, is that an unsolved mystery, really?
Or were you really reaching? You were just reaching for that one.
Yeah.
Well, we got some folks on the line.
Let's talk to them, folks. All right. Who do we have first?
Darren's first.
Hi, Darren. Darren, what are you going to binge this weekend? Hi, Darren.
Hi, how are you?
Great, how are you?
Good, thank you. It's a beautiful day.
Is it? I can't see outside.
The sun is out now for maybe a few minutes. So I am binging Escape to the Chateau. It's set in rural France. It's this charming British couple that moved to France, and they're restoring this old 1868 chateau. It's so charming and uplifting.
Is it a reality? Is it like a reality show?
It is.
Oh, yeah. I'm in. I'm
so
in on this.
So uplifting in those crazy times. It's excellent.
I am in on this. Thank you, Darren. That's a good suggestion.
Where is it?
It's on Peacock, or you can catch it on PBS.
Perfect.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Peacock
it looks like there
PBS?
Are 6 seasons, 27 episodes. So
okay, that's a fun one. Darren, thank you. That's actually a really good suggestion. See, this serves a dual purpose. It allows people to share what they are watching and also gives good suggestions to people who haven't figured out what they're going to put their eyeballs on this weekend. Who else do we have on the line, Holly?
We have Justin.
Hi, Justin. Justin, what are you going to binge this weekend?
Hi. Have you heard of I'm a sucker for a good sitcom. Have you heard of the show Mom?
Oh, yes.
No.
Who's in that one?
Anna Faris and Allison Janney. I'm like in love with Allison Janney, and it's like the funniest show I've ever seen.
Now, is this the one where, not spoiler alert, that Anna Faris ends up leaving?
We're not going to talk about that.
Okay,
right now.
Sorry. We don't need to talk about that. I'm sorry I brought it up. Like, Pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah, I'm like low-key upset about it, but she hasn't answered my DMs about it, so we're not going to talk about it.
Justin, thank you for your call. Have a good weekend.
That looks like Mom is available on CBS All Access.
Awesome. Thank you. Who else do we have, Holly?
We have Gracelyn.
Hi, Gracelyn. What are you going to put your eyeballs on this weekend? What are you binging, Gracelyn?
Riverdale and Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Okay. Oh. So I have it on good authority that one of our coworkers here at My Talk loves Riverdale. What is it about Riverdale that you love so much?
The mystery and I don't know.
The mystery and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Thank you for your call. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
That show sounds like it's right up my alley. I'm a little bit, she also said Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and I'm guessing it's not the old one that we used to watch on ABC.
Well, there's two. You can watch the old ones on Hulu.
But the newer one is like a little bit dark.
The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
And something tells me that's the one she was talking about. Yeah, I probably would be watching the Caroline Ray one. Do we have any? What?
No, I'm just laughing.
Okay. You can't do that here. I'm just kidding. Of course you can.
It's the cat that you watch for the cat.
For Salem. Everybody watches for Salem, of course. Do we have any other callers, Holly?
Sharon Lee's on the line.
Hi, Sharon Lee. Sharon Lee, what are you going to binge this weekend?
Hey, I'm so stressed because people wear their masks on their nose, not on their noses, that I'm just going to take my brain, put it in on a jar on the counter, and I'm going to watch all the Hallmark movies.
That'll
be fun.
Love that journey for you. And I'm so glad that you worked in a little public shaming for people who don't put their masks up over their nose.
It is very hard to not say anything to people. My tongue is sore from biting it.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you put it here because it just amplified to a whole lot of people. Sharon Lee, we love you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you, Sharon Lee. Everybody, put your masks up over your nose. They work best when they are covering all the things that breathe. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you all of you for giving us not only your weekend plans, but good ideas for those of us who needed a little extra suggestion. And now when we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, each and every Friday, we like to try a little something so you don't have to. And then we tell you how it is so you can decide whether you're going to eat it or not. It's Friday. It's a cheat day. We're going to cheat after this on My Talk 107.1. Yo, this is the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
Hi. And it's Friday, which means what? It's time to
cheat.
Dirty, rotten cheater.
Cheat day taste test.
Stick this in your mouth.
Okay, so this just worked out perfectly again this week. Last week, we tried an item from Arby's, of which there were three variations, and we each tried a variation. Today, we're trying something from McDonald's, of which there are three variations, and we each are trying our very own variation.
How lucky are we?
We are so lucky. Okay, so
this is a new menu?
This is a new item, and they've been kind of pushing this on the McDonald's website and menu board. They are offering pastries at McDonald's these days, which I'm here for, right? Because sometimes you want a little sweet treat in the morning with your curfew. So I was out and about this morning and I thought, because here's the thing, these aren't available all day and you can't, like, we can't order to have them delivered here at 1:15. So we had to plan ahead, which is not our strength on the Colleen and Bradley show.
But we did. We persevered. Thank you for picking these up.
We pushed through. I picked up the three pastries. So the three pastries that are on offer on the breakfast menu at McDonald's are an apple fritter, which I selfishly kept for myself because I love me an apple fritter. Holly.
Wow, thanks.
What? I'm just saying.
Did you know that apple fritters are my favorite of all time?
Go and get your own. Holly got the blueberry muffin.
Which I win because I love blueberry muffins.
Yay! And then Bradley.
I think I won because I have a icing
cinnamon bun.
Cinnamon roll. Oh,
so
good.
I did try to matchmake a little bit, knowing, of course, first that I picked myself for the apple fritter, but I kind of had a feeling.
Thank you for thinking of us after the
that you. No, but I tried to matchmake the others.
I know.
I think we did okay. So who wants to start first?
I have the cinnamon roll, and I can tell you I just nuked it for like 30 seconds.
That's what I did with my fritter.
So that it would refresh, because I kept it a little bit chilled just in case it would dry out. Mm. And it, first of all, it looks amazing. Like, I saw a video of this yesterday, and I thought, oh, that looks too good to be true. It looks pretty close to the real McGillicuddy.
Because sometimes what happens as you put that in your mouth, I'll say, sometimes what happens, and we all know this, that when you order a menu item and it's sitting there before you, you think, I thought it was going to look like the thing on the commercial. And oftentimes that's just not the case. But in this case, I would say the same is true for mine, too. It looks as good as the pictures do. Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good.
Is it?
I bet it's even better when you first get it. Like, let's be real. Fast food stuff is usually better immediately.
Yeah.
But that's pretty darn good for having sat around for a little bit. The flavor is really good. It's really cinnamony, which I love. It's not too dry. I always think that cinnamon rolls are too dry.
Yeah.
There's enough frosting for sure.
And enough of like the butter in between that kind of makes it all ooey gooey a little bit.
I mean, I might add some butter, but
okay. We don't need to talk. We don't need to tell anybody. Okay, so
that's real good.
Should I try that apple fritter?
Go for it.
Holly, did you already go all in on the muffin?
Yeah, but you go first.
Okay. All right. So
tell us what you think. You've got an apple fritter.
Okay, first of all, it's a good size. Like, it's a normal, it's not too big, and it's not chintzy and small.
Yeah, I will say the same of the cinnamon roll. It's a hefty cinnamon roll. It's not like a Cinnabon experience, but
okay, I'm gonna
it's a pretty decent size.
I'm going to be honest. I was skeptical, really, because I like bakery goods at bakeries, right? That's what they do best. Yeah. But this is a good apple fritter.
Like, that's something you would pick up?
I would totally pick this up. And I would not even miss the fact that I didn't get it from my favorite bakery around the corner, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it serves the purpose. It's got the right amount of icing. It's really got, like, a good cinnamon flavor in it.
Are there chunks of apple in it, I hope?
So I didn't encounter one yet, but as I'm going to continue to eat it, yes, I see a chunk.
You do some exploratory work.
I'm going to do some very deep exploration on the apple fritter while we check in with Holly and her muffin.
Blueberry muffin Holly.
Mm-hmm.
How's your muffin, Holly?
It's a little crusty.
Okay.
On the top.
Okay.
That means that it has a nice sugary topping on the blueberry muffin. So
it's a little streusely.
Yeah, but here's the key to a blueberry muffin. So you have to unwrap it and then you have to tear it apart in two to see if there's the correct blueberry to muffin ratio. Sad to say that's not the case. On one half of my blueberry muffin, there is a blueberry in the muffin.
Did they sink to the bottom?
No, actually, there's some that are in the middle and then there's a couple at the bottom, but there's not enough blueberry for me. But that being said, my muffin is moist
and crusty.
So it's actually a decent muffin. And the thing with McDonald's, when they put these items on the menu, it's just nice for them to be there. It's like you have a choice besides an Egg McMuffin, because sometimes that's not the vibe in the morning.
Right. Sometimes you want a little sweet treat with your coffee. You don't really need to have like the full, you know, McMuffin experience. I got to tell you guys, I'm pleasantly surprised. Holly, I like a muffin with a streusel. And so when I saw that muffin, I was impressed with that muffin.
Yeah. Aesthetically, it's pleasing.
Yeah. It's a good-looking muffin.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, guys, I just hit the jackpot when it came to apple chunks in my fritter.
Did you finally get a chunk of apple?
I did. There was like a whole concentration right there, right in the center. I'm incredibly impressed. This was a good move by McDonald's.
I will say, the next time I find myself at a McDonald's for breakfast, I will probably revert to my favorite.
Yeah.
Which is the, or what's it called?
A McGriddle.
This tells you how often I go. McGriddle,
yeah. Yeah, you love your McGriddle.
I mean, just because you get all the things.
Right. Right.
You get a little bit of, you get meat, you get eggs.
You get meat
and
sweet.
You get salty, you get sweet. But If I were near a McDonald's and I just wanted a cup of coffee and something sweet, I would definitely try one of these things.
Yeah, they're really good. I highly recommend. Okay, so let's go around the room and do our rating. We rate on a scale of 1 to 5 Cobras, 5 being the best. Bradley Trainer, for the cinnamon bun pastry from McDonald's, how many Cobras?
I'm doing math in my head, beep, boop, bop, boop, beep, boop, bop, because I'm leaning between a 3 and a 3.5. I'm going to go with a solid 3, like not just a weak 3.
Okay.
Like a solid 3, which is better than average.
Good. I like it.
Above average.
Solid 3 for the cinnamon bun from McDonald's. Holly Roberts, for the blueberry muffin,
I'm going to give it a light 3.
A light 3, says. So that's a decent muffin.
Yeah, yeah, I would eat this blueberry muffin from McDonald's. Yeah. Not my first choice, but glad it's there.
And for the apple fritter, and again, I am a fritter fan. I'm an apple fritter fan. I am going to give this a solid 3.5. As far as apple fritters go, it is good, but you do want to eat it slightly warmed. You don't want to eat, I don't think. I mean, I didn't try it cold, but it is decent warmed. So way to go, pastries at McDonald's. We're for ya. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, we've got celebrities behaving badly. We have a name for them. That name is D-Bags, and we're going to call them D-Bags. Names after this on My Talk 107.1. Celebrities behaving badly. We love to tell you about them on the Colleen and Bradley show on My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment, Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
You know, just hanging out, doing the thing.
Cool. Well, we have a name for those celebrities behaving badly, and that name is...
D-Bag.
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
Bag of D today, Colleen.
People magazine.
The whole darn thing?
Yeah,
why?
Pretty much. Because, okay, for the last, I'm going to say 2 days, we have been actually talking about, which this is rare, an article or two articles in People magazine that are talking about Rebel Wilson and her partnerships with Uber Eats and Chipotle and Hinge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they usually use a Instagram post as sort of the entree to the conversation, no pun intended, right?
Yeah.
So yesterday, another article was published about Rebel Wilson. I'm thinking, my gosh, 3 articles in the space of 3 days? What? The headline is, Rebel Wilson is, quote, finishing my year of health off strong on a walk. Quote, this is the place to be. And it starts with an Instagram post that Rebel Wilson took of herself while she's hiking in the mountains. And then as you start to scroll through the story, you realize this is exactly the same article that they've written and published the last 2 days, just rearranged with different pictures, but all the same data.
Oh, not only that, but there's actually some, this one that you've linked to, this is actually, there's some different content in here, and it's interesting what that different content has led to, but, continue. I just want to,
well, what I was going to say is, like, so I opened this up and I'm like, oh, it's another Rebel Wilson article. Like, how much can we really say about Rebel Wilson in 1 week in People magazine? And I realized they weren't actually saying much different because, again, they highlight in this article the storyline about her goal of getting down to 165 pounds by the end of 2020, sharing that she's recently lost 40 pounds, the quote about probably eating about 3,000 calories most days before she started on her year of health. She talks about her high protein diet. And I'm thinking all of these things are exactly the things we've already talked about. But what, Bradley, is it that is sticking out to you?
Thank you for asking, Colleen.
Is this your D-bag?
No.
Okay.
No, my D-bag is totally different.
Okay.
But as I was going through this article, because you're right, this is now the third installment in Rebel Wilson on People magazine. Uh-huh. And this particular one points to this Instagram photo of her wearing a parka. She's in the mountains or something. And she's like, I'm on a walk being healthy.
Yeah. Well, I see it.
Read the words in the first sentence of the third paragraph.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Enjoying a morning walk amongst health
trees. Nope, I'm sorry. The one before that.
Dressed in a Canada Goose parka with a black top and matching fitted pants.
Okay, you can stop there.
Yep.
Do me a favor. Click on the words Canada Goose parka.
Oh, what could happen? Oh, look, they try to sell me a Canada Goose parka.
Now, before you say, well, they're just trying to be helpful to their readers, right? Mm-hmm. Do me a favor and go all the way to the end of the URL in that that was clicked on. Where it says source, will you tell me what it says after the word source?
It says pepper jam.
Source equals. Okay.
Pepper jam.
Will you please Google the word pepper jam?
Ooh, this is so fun. Oh, my gosh. We're going on a journey.
You know,
pepper
right?
jam. Pepperjam.com. Pepper jam.
So what this is that Colleen is looking at is the affiliate.
It is an affiliate life cycle platform.
Yeah. So it's affiliate marketing, which means they're giving credit to somebody that's likely People magazine for those who click on and purchase. So every time somebody purchases a Canada Goose parka through that link, there's going to be credit given to whoever put that link in there, which presumably because it's on People means People magazine will then get the affiliate marketing credit. So this is just further proof of what we've alleged, and not just alleged, but proven, thanks to science, on a little thing we like to call Go Deep in the Shallow,
which is our podcast, which you can download wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to review us and subscribe. Mash that subscribe button. Smash that subscribe button. I don't care how you treat it. We did an entire episode, our first episode, in fact, on the big fat scam that is People magazine. And we are seeing it play out right before our very eyes when it comes to Rebel Wilson.
This is interesting. This is just like, it's a wonderful example of exactly what's going on and why People magazine is sort of complicit in, you know, just pushing what celebrities want, because it's something that benefits them directly.
And it is interesting, because what tipped me off to this being my D-bag today was the fact that I realized we've had a lot of Rebel. She is like the fork that is spoon feeding us the affiliates, their affiliates. Like, she's the fork that's feeding us the stuff that we're gonna now buy, allegedly, according to People magazine, right?
Yeah, so it's through, you know, People reports on the story about her, but the if you look at all three pieces of content that we've talked about over the last 3 days as relates to Rebel Wilson, each one of them has been tied to some sort of marketing plan or marketing push or effort or relationship, whatever you want, whatever the noun is.
None of it is there to just
for because it's Friday, but
yeah, none of it is there just there to tell you about her year of health.
Yeah,
that's not what that's all about.
To the lay reader, to the reader who's maybe not as attuned to paying attention to what's behind the scenes,
aka not just wearing a tinfoil hat.
Yeah, well, exactly, right? Somebody who's not reading the details. Because, like, literally, it doesn't take a rocket science to hover over the link and then, I mean, you know, figure out, like, oh, that's a link that links me to this retail site. And, oh, anyone who knows about affiliate marketing knows that you put that link in there when you're writing the content so that you will get a, you know, credit.
Right.
Anytime somebody publishes, I mean, that's been going on for 30 years. Well, not 30 years, but probably 15, 20 years on the internet. So, I mean, Rebel Wilson is just a delightful example of all the things that we have been talking about for years.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Who's your D-bag, Bradley?
My D-bag. Oh, my God. Can we talk about Max Ehrich, please and thank you?
Sure.
So there is this piece in Cosmo. Now, how do we begin the story about Max Ehrich? He was with Demi Lovato.
Mm-hmm. Like, they at the very beginning of quarantine, the two of them started getting hot and heavy.
They got hot and heavy so much that they were going to get married. he gave her an engagement ring.
Yep. And then they broke up. We've been through an entire relationship cycle with those two during quarantine.
And then we went through this whole period where he would not go away, and he was kind of being a little stalkery, or at least a little, like, cry for helpy on social media mm-hmm. with his relationship with Demi Lovato. And apparently it continues, because she, and I miss this, and we maybe even talked about her making a joke about her publicationship melting down this year at the People's Choice Awards. Mm-hmm. I guess she said something like... let me see if I can find her exact quote, because it was something offhanded. During the PCA, she made a joke about, that's People's Choice Awards, about the end of her engagement, saying, I binged 7 seasons of Pretty Little Liars, got unengaged, and went looking for aliens in the desert. So basically the same as everyone else.
Oh my God.
Talking about her year. So that was an offhanded remark, also kind of weird. Because the aliens thing, do you remember that?
Oh yeah, she is partnering with a guy on an app where you can talk to aliens.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, get this. Max Arich drops into her Instas to call her out and demands that she stop talking about him at awards shows, and accused her of exploiting their relationship for clout.
hold the so actual phone.
He shows up twice and says... Exploiting our breakup for clout at PCA is not chill. And follows that up 3 hours after whenever this was posted. Stop talking about me on award shows. Thanks.
Oh, my word.
Okay. That sounds a little desperate, Henny.
Well, he's like also, the king of desperation.
And also what it says to me is they have no personal relationship, probably, right? Like, they don't talk to each other in any capacity.
Which we've actually talked about this, because when they broke up, he was like, I'm trying to reach her. Like, I want to know, like, that she had never told him that they broke up, and he allegedly found out through, you know, the media. And he's like, woe is me, crying into his soup because he hasn't spoken to her. And we're like... Well, she just call her. You got to have her number. You guys were engaged. Like, how do you not know how to get a hold of her?
Which makes you wonder, like, what she did and how they were communicating prior. So after they went their separate ways, like, did he even have her phone number? I mean, I don't know how celebrity dating works. But, like, presumably, I just don't think it's the same as you or I in many ways. So maybe she's got, like, 3 phones.
Well,
like,
and
right?
he would have had... her publicist's number. He would have had her team's number. He just would have. Yeah. If they were engaged, like, that's like part of the Rolodex that you share.
Well, in the way that they were engaged, that they had exclusive photos in Malibu, we had all the details about the ring, etc.
Right. You would have her team's number. You would be able to get a hold of them.
That everybody was shutting her out.
Right.
Him out.
Yeah.
Anyway, at the point that you're showing up in your ex's Instagram comments, I just feel like maybe you could do better.
Yeah. Also, like, also, that is rich coming from him, like, trying to call out her using their relationship. That's rich. That's all I'd like to say about that. When we come back. Oh, go ahead.
Calling out the relationship. What are you doing right now?
Honey.
Right.
Honey. Well, when we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, here's a story that we haven't really addressed for a little while, but there's a reason why. We want to talk about Jerry Falwell Jr. and specifically the other man, Giancarlo. He has spoken. We'll tell you what all that means when we come back after this on My Talk 107.1. Thank you, Holly. This is the Colleen and Bradley show on My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment, Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
And there's a story that we were real hot on when it first broke, and then we just haven't heard a whole lot about it until recently, and that is the story of Jerry Falwell Jr. and the pool boy.
Oh, gosh, this nasty. Do we have a that's nasty?
That's nasty.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's nasty. Somebody moved my whole thing.
Somebody moved my nasty.
Somebody moved my nasty.
It's all good.
So I just have
our
by nasty by a brief.
Bye. It's nasty by a brief. Bye.
Nasty by a brief. That actually would be a good product line. Okay, now I want to tell you a little bit of an update. Thanks. Actually, hat tip to Holly for forwarding this to me. And you guys can read this and probably should at some point if you like to get all up in the nasty drama. From Talking Points memo about 3 days ago, they published a more extensive piece on Giancarlo Granda, who is the pool boy in the Jerry Falwell Jr. and Becky Falwell sex/Liberty University scandal, right?
Right.
And the headline in this particular piece is Sex, Lies, and Regret. Giancarlo Granda reels from 8 years with the Falwells. Now, a lot of it's very similar to the stuff that we already know, which is that Jerry Falwell, Becky Falwell, again, according to Giancarlo Granda, had a three-some relationship, what do we call that? A throuple? They were in a sexual throuple. Sounds so dirty. wherein it sounds like, according to Giancarlo, he would have the relations with Becky and Jerry would kind of hang out.
And sit and eat popcorn in the corner.
And by popcorn, you mean... but wait. There's more. And it's the but more.
Stop.
Excuse me. It's but wait. There's more. That I wanted to share with you. And forgive me because I'm having a little bit of a technical difficulty. Do you know how the internet just loves to go crazy on certain websites?
Yep. This is one of those high energy websites.
So let me just start telling you what I remember from this particular story, okay. Which again, it's not just that they had this sexual relationship, but that they used this sexual relationship, or I should say they used the reality of this sexual relationship, the Falwells did, with Giancarlo to threaten him. And that's what he reveals in this latest interview, is that he felt like they were using the sexual relationship as leverage. And remember that they involved him in some business dealings.
Right.
And so it's that, and because some people would say, well, he was just engaging in a sexual relationship. Who cares? What's the big deal about that? People can get up to whatever they want to, but it's really so much more than that, right? It was about power more than I think it was about sex. Mm-hmm. And that's backed up by the fact that Becky Falwell also had an powerfully imbalanced sexual liaison with the friend of one of her sons as well. So this was a pattern, right?
Right.
In this latest piece, he talks about how he felt like he was being groomed by them. You know, when he was picked up at this pool, at the Fountain Blue Hotel in Miami, where he was working at the time, he says that he believes that the couple recorded their sexual liaisons and then used those recordings against him. And it,
can I just stick a pin in that for a second? Because at the same time that he felt like they had something on him, like he really had something on them also.
Yeah.
Did he not? I mean, but I also understand when you're in a manipulative relationship, it might be difficult to see the bargaining chip that you're holding.
Yeah, I don't think if you're not in power, like in that relationship, the power dynamic was so imbalanced,
right,
that there's,
sure,
like, he was 19 years old, and this powerful couple who he looked up to, you have to remember that, you know, he looked up to these people initially, maybe not so, but over time, and they, you know, gave him, you know, financial benefits. So any power that he may have, you know, that anybody around him would have said maybe he had, he did not feel like he had. He talks about how, remember I said that he believes that they videotaped him and then used those videos to sort of threaten him. He talked about a message, and actually showed Talking Points memo, the message where she said to him, that is, Becky Falwell is sending a message to Giancarlo, quote, "I was watching some video clips on my phone. Wow. These are two people that are very passionate at lovemaking." Now, she's speaking of the two of them, right? And then she goes on, and I won't bore you with the disgusting details, but what that implies is that Jerry was filming.
Wow.
Right? And they've denied that this was actually happening. Again, I also have to believe that this is not the first time that this has happened.
Well, you know, again, like, it, they seem so expert at the manipulation. You're right. Like, things like this are not one-offs. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. He also talks about how that they would joke with him, don't forget about the videos. And also started, now I was confused about pronouns here, but Granda says he began to feel uncomfortable having sex with Becky in 2013 and began referring to her as his sister.
Well, that's because we learn in this article that Giancarlo was embedded not only with Becky, literally, and Jerry Falwell Jr., but they treated him almost like a son, bringing him on family vacations. And that one of the difficult things for Giancarlo was that he had genuine affection towards members of the Falwell family.
And talks about how
diabolical.
And this is actually what's interesting, and this tells you that there's a pattern here, because this is also the sentiment, as Giancarlo shares it, but also the sentiment shared by the other gentleman who was the friend of the son who she jumped on in the middle of the night while he was staying at their home, is that he didn't want to hurt the feelings of, he didn't want to somehow damage the lives of the people that had no role in this whatsoever, which is such a, like, that's a total victim behavior, right? Like, he doesn't realize that, no, you're only protecting the perpetrators. You're not really protecting, and again, they were all adults, so let's be clear, it's not a child, but I still think that when there's a power dynamic here, you have to look at the relationship, and it seems like, you know, the fact that he'd be more focused about hurting other people indicates that he was the victim in this relationship.
Yeah. I got to sit down and actually read through this entire article, because, you know, you kind of started off by saying this, that we've talked about the story and we have like a knowledge of the story, but we don't have it to this degree from his perspective. I mean, you really are getting some of the real details, not just of, we heard how the relationship began and we knew some of the details about kind of other things that occurred, for example, the business that they started together, but there are some real details about what life was like for Giancarlo Granda in the midst of this entire relationship, and you get a firm picture about who Jerry Falwell and Becky Falwell were in this.
I just look forward to the miniseries, because if somebody's not writing the screenplay, I would sue for malpractice.
No, so, is that, can you do that?
Somebody should be writing the screenplay.
Somebody should be writing this.
Many people are.
For sure. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, what are some of the things that we are going to see hold over from this time of quarantine? We got an email from our school district, and we've realized that the dream of snow days is now done. What are some of the things that we have learned from this quarantine lockdown time that will carry over? We'll talk about it after.